You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Quinzer from Sandon Private Wealth. Just a general sort of, you know, everything's going up day. There's M&A activity in the United States between companies that 20 years ago you wouldn't have even believed their names. Oracle, TikTok, ByteDance. There's been something else as well. Oh, of course, yeah, the vaccine story with Pfizer. Mm. So, Nick Quinzer, what do you make of it all? Is it all valid or is it all bogus?
Lindsay Williams, I'm not sure. It was one of those days where, I mean, it was a positive day, but it didn't feel like it really got going. And if you look at some of the intraday swings on the shares, just on the local bourse, you know, 3-5% swings intraday, yes, it's got this real choppy feel about it. And going into the US Open, you kind of thought the Americans were going to buy it up. You know, they had a bit of a tough week last week, NASDAQ being down over 4%. So I thought there'd be some people coming in and sort of trying to pick a bottom here. And we've had the bounce. We've had the bounce now. Yeah. But the question is, you know, I just wonder how much sort of real buying is behind it, how much is your typical day traders back into this market. But yeah, overall, it's nothing to get too excited about today. I think the fun and game is going to happen when the central bank starts speaking in the next few days.
Yes, indeed. So today is just one of those days where people position themselves and say, well, for the last 12 years, we've been buying the dips, or other market participants have been buying the dips, so we have to buy the dips now. So let's do it, even though we've only been in the market for 3 to 4 months because we're at home and we've got nothing else to do. That is my interpretation of this.
Exactly.
Okay. Tell me about Richemont, because I was speaking to David Shapiro earlier on, and you can hear that conversation on Shapiro World on strictlybusinesspodcast.com. But he was talking about maybe a link up with Tiffany. Richemont and Tiffany, that's the rumor that he's heard. And if he's heard it, you've heard it.
No, so that's the rumor. That's the rumor doing the rounds at the moment. And a few people were speculating, because last week, and I haven't heard the podcast, I'm sure we spoke about this, but last week, Richemont almost tidying house a little bit. You know, there's a couple of directors have left over the last month or so. They've cancelled that loyalty optional warrant program that they had,
yes,
for the dividend payment. So it's almost like they were tidying up the books. The problem is, though, I don't know if Mr. Rupert's one of these people who likes to play nice with other people. I don't know if a merger would be on the part, or maybe it's his one song of moving on and calling it quits. I don't know. But as I said, it's a rumor. Nothing's been denied. Nothing's been said it's true or not. But the market is certainly playing some big volumes in the last week as well. Once again, today is a solid day, up 1.5%.
Well, if there's big volume and there's big movement to the upside, then that means that there's something going on. It's not just one particular fund manager buying the thing. There's something going on, isn't there?
As we always say on your show, you know, these markets are efficient, and certainly, you know, there's volumes. Yeah, someone's positioning themselves accordingly.
Efficient is one word for it.
Let's leave it at that.
Yes, we shall leave it at that, shall we? Okay, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service today, because although it was a quiet but firm Monday, was there any corporate action or any corporate news that came out this morning and throughout the day?
Let's have a look. We spoke about Bidvest. And
yes, that was a good one. Tell us about that again.
Nice set of results. So the conference call was just before lunchtime. I'll have to get the feedback from my team tomorrow. But all intents and purposes, the couple of 1.9ers that came out on the email was a fairly positive outlook, and they seem fairly optimistic. So I guess that's reflected in the share price too. Also spoke about AngloGold Ashanti deal. Looks like Harmony and the AngloGold Ashanti deal was different conditions for these mergers have been met. It'll give Harmony control of AngloGold Ashanti's last remaining SA's assets, as we said. Shed a tear for that one. And of course, offshore, as you started with the intro, TikTok and Oracle and Microsoft and a few of these other names doing the rounds, a bit of M&A activity. So in general, it's quite a bit to digest, but overall finishing in the green, which I guess is it's a good way to start the week anyway.
It really is. What do you think about the TikTok deal? Again, I was talking to David Shapiro about this, and I thought to myself, well, if TikTok can suddenly come to front of mind to people like you and I, and let's face it, we're not TikTok, we're not a TikTok audience, but if it can suddenly appear certainly another company can appear as well. It's not as if they patented it and said, no more TikTok technology. Someone else can do it. So why are people scrambling for this thing? Because all you need is another influencer. You need a Nick Kunzer, for example, to come out and say, I use Tiki Toki, whatever the next name is. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not easy, but it can be done.
This has always been a problem with a fast-moving millennial sort of mindset. You know, what's the flavor of the month from one month to the next? And more importantly, just elaborating what you're saying, you know, the level of entry for a lot of these online platforms, whether it's online gaming or whether it's a platform like Tencent, your level of entry is quite low. Yes. You know, it only takes someone to come up with something else and it goes viral on the World Wide Web. I mean, TikTok's not even that old. But it's certainly intriguing. There's obviously a little bit of, I don't know, during COVID sort of M&A happening with a lot of these platforms. But the behind all this, the soap opera with Mr. Trump and the administration and basically, you know, strong-arming certain people. Because it sounds like Microsoft, with the front runners, made a bid. Of course, we know that Microsoft and Mr. Trump don't get on. So that basically got spurned on that one. And jumping on with Oracle, and Oracle being the largest, I think at one point, one of the largest donors to Mr. Trump's fund, yes, believe it or not. So, I mean, read between the lines. It's starting to come across as quite unsavory, this whole thing, to be honest.
Spot prices look like
I think
this.
It's setting a dangerous precedent.
I think it is as well. Yeah. It's a dangerous precedent that is presiding over the dangerous precedent. Okay, dollar rand is 16.67. British pound against the rand is 21.46. Euro rand is 19.79. Then euro dollar, that dollar's under pressure again, 118.75. I've got the gold price, because of that weaker dollar, 19.60. We've got the platinum price. Again, I've got the wrong increment, but it's 964, but it's probably
which
up
makes it up $20. Which makes it up 3%, $29 on the day.
Exactly. Okay, palladium is what, please?
Also having a good day, up $22, $2,350 an ounce.
And the oil price, the West Texas is barely changed, $37.33. And the Brent crude oil price is barely changed at $39.82. Absolutely nothing going on in the oil market today. Let me have a look at the movers on the JSE today. Tell me about Richemont while I'm getting my screen up. What has it done? Because it's been an interesting one. Is it up again? I think it might be 3-4 days in a row.
It is. 122.88, 1.55% higher. And that is certainly the highest that we've had since before COVID by a long way.
Yeah.
Really, really, you know, as I said, something is definitely happening there. And to say with these volumes spike the last 2 days, I'm just looking from year to date where we are.
Yes.
So this would put it this year. So the high of the year is exactly here, 123. So we're 12 cents away from a new high for the year, which given the current environment, luxury goods, people locked up at home, you know, there's definitely something going on in the share.
It could be something to do with the China bounce back, which has been, if we believe the Chinese authorities, has been very, not spectacular, but certainly very solid. It could be the fact that people are saying, well, I haven't done anything for 6 months, so I'm going to go out and buy some earrings or a watch or something like that, rich people, that is. I don't know, it could be that. But on the other hand, I don't believe a word I've just said.
Yeah, no. This. I mean, this stock is typically, it's certainly not one that, you know, I'd be surprised. You know, it's not one that people generally, people want exposure to luxury goods offshore. In South Africa, Richemont's one of the few, but it's a very low beta to the index. It's typically a bit of a rand hedge.
And it's
certainly not something I'd rush to buy given the current circumstances. Not to mention the fact it's actually up now on the year to date. Given most of these luxury goods, LVMH and a few others are not. So it's definitely something in the play at the moment.
Interesting. Tiffany is the one that has been mooted by everybody. So if it's Tiffany, then fine. Pepcor is the top of my leaderboard I've got a delayed screen, but Pepcor is up 7.3%. I've no idea why. You'll tell me in a moment. Goldfields up 6.1%. Bidvest up 5.1% after their results. AVI up 2.6% after their results. and Tiger Brands last week. And Tiger Brands up 2.3%. And on the downside, I've got RCL down nearly 6%, Sibanye Stillwater down nearly 6%, Cartrack down 4.3%, Life Healthcare a 3.7% loser, and Netcare also in that same sort of space down 3.5%. Of those, what are the stories behind them? Why is Pepco up?
That I have no idea. Look, I mean, it's ShopRite that set the light on things last week, so maybe there's a little bit of catch up in that space, and the people are talking about, you know, restrictions of level one, so your retailers in an SA might get exposure. I tell you what's interesting for me is Sibanye Stillwater.
Yes.
A lot of things on the room wall. No one quite knows, a massive volume on the open, more than sort of 3-4 times your daily volume. There was, I saw, and I stand to be corrected, that maybe any listeners out there can tweet it out, but I mean, someone said that it was basically the components of gold, silver, and platinum in this mix doesn't qualify it to be in a gold index. And a couple of gold indexes are speaking about having to boot it out the index. That's kind of doing the virtual water coolers now in Joburg. But I don't know how much truth or substance is behind that. Well, so I can't find any news on it.
It was around about 8% down on the opening. And if there is that sort of volume, somebody knows something. Again, it's the Richemont story. Mm. The market knows, someone in the market knows something, or some market participants know something. So it could be that.
Could be that.
So what, it's going to get kicked out of what? The MSCI or whatever it's in?
No, there's actually a gold index. There's a couple of gold indexes. And to qualify, you have to have a certain mix, obviously, of gold. And silver, apparently, another PGM. And apparently, Sibanye is quite low in that mix. It's more by platinum and palladium. Ah. So that's what's kind of doing the rounds. I stand to be corrected, but I couldn't find any news, and I've spoken around the branches and a few of the brokers as well. No, everyone seems to be scratching their heads trying to find an answer, and no one does.
Well, I can tell you, if it is that, then you've got to buy the thing, because that is just a technicality, and it'll bounce straight back because it's a good company with gold and platinum, and platinum good metals doing well. I mean, you just let it go down another 2-3% tomorrow and just steam in. That is just my personal opinion. Okay, anything out of those 10, outside of those 10 that I've just spoken about, that you liked or disliked today?
No, just that it's interesting to see the gold mix, actually. DRD Gold up, I've got one up 1.5%. I've got Harmony's down 0.4%. But as I said, if anything today, there's no real trend in this market. It's been quite choppy. The Rand's given us no direction. And with little exposure to tech shares and with all the tech M&A up in across the pond, it's difficult to get any sort of follow through with South Africa. As I said, I think this week, though, we'll start getting a little bit more guidance with central banks kicking off from tomorrow.
I'm going to take a break from my Trump bashing ending to this particular show. And I'm going to talk about Tiffany today. It says here, Tiffany & Co. is well known for its little blue box and exquisite jewellery. There are very few women, this is very sexist, by the way, there are very few women who wouldn't find themselves excited over the presentation of a little blue box from Tiffany's at any given time. I mean, I'm allegedly a man. I would love to get a little blue box from any shop. Checkers, even. Okay, so you've got these are the most expensive items that you can get from Tiffany at the moment. You've got the diamond drop earrings, $350,000. If there's one thing that never goes out of style, it's the diamond earring. This look works everywhere from brunch to a night on the town at a black tie event. Look, I'm not going to get my ears pierced, but anyway, $350,000 for the diamond drop earrings. The Tiffany Legacy bracelet, $470,000. Each of the dozens of diamonds on this breathtaking bracelet was hand cut in a special shape for Tiffany's. We've got your Tiffany Legacy necklace, Nick Kunzer, $845,000, and you've got the Tiffany ring with an important diamond. Important diamond, obviously, it means something. You have to choose it yourself. $2.1 million. So that is maybe why that the Richemont price is going up. If they're going to buy this thing and people are stupid enough to buy that rubbish, then goodness me, seems like a snip to me. Did you buy your wife a ring, by the way, for your wedding?
Oh, of course, naturally, yeah.
And?
I did indeed. So I didn't go to Tiffany's. Let's put it that way.
You went to Charles Gray, right, in Hyde Park.
No. I actually went to an old school friend of mine that was literally in the same class as me.
Yes.
And he studied jewelry design. He's based in Durban. He's got his own jeweler. So I kept it in the family, gave him some business, and he helped design a nice ring as well.
Exactly. A very classy way to do it. Nick Kunzer is from Sandham Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.